Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson, and today I want to go over the topic of politics and hate. And, I put up the show topic description. So everybody knows that in Pennsylvania this weekend, in a synagogue, some people who were there, just to worship, were gunned down. And this is, I think that they said the 363rd shooting of the year that involved two or more killings. And we have a political climate that I think needs discussed. I'm very liberal-leaning, not obviously to the point where I don't have the sensibility to think about, perspectives from the other side. When it comes to Trump and this, I don't even want to call them just like a typical government, because in a typical government, you have checks and balances. In a democratic government, you have checks and balances, and you have people running it who can dissent from the main leader without problem, without retribution of a horrific nature. And that's not currently what we're seeing. But more than that is the amount of vitriol and hate and separation and ideological differences is astounding. And when it comes to politics, we're supposed to have ideological differences. That is actually what makes it interesting. From my perspective, certain things are normal, they're great, they're wonderful. From someone else's perspective, things are quite different. And I'm trying to be a little bit understanding about this topic as I go over it, because I don't want to continue to breed the hate that we've seen in this climate, and I also don't want to further the separation that we have. I have an understanding of politics, it irks me when people start saying that I'm not educated about politics, because since the election in 2016, I have absolutely done nothing but look at politics day in and day out. I literally wake up in the morning, and the first thing that I do is check Twitter, because I often know that from the time that I go to bed to the time that I wake in the morning, things could have dramatically happened. And it's astounding the amount of things that I see happen within the blink of an eye now. And I don't believe that this is just Twitter. I don't believe that Twitter is like the core decider. I know that Twitter keeps me up to date. In the age of vast information and quick ability to gain access to information, two things are happening. One is that people have access to volumes of both information, data, facts, and disinformation, lies, and rhetoric, okay? And the problem here is that when it comes to lies and rhetoric, people aren't really great at deciphering, and I have been guilty of this in the past myself. You think something, it looks legitimate enough, and for whatever reason, I don't want to make accusations, but for whatever reason, you don't feel like you have to go through the whole process of fact-checking the entirety of something that's presented to you. You think that your friends have enough skills to fact-check it before they post it, so you go with that. And I have, I've learned to be more mindful about who I trust and believe in. And I like to have the kind of person bringing me information that I know that I can trust them from, historical perspectives where they have been shown to be right again and again, and they present the truth as the truth and such. Now, a lot of people don't do that because, once again, there are volumes of information coming at you daily. People have gotten so that reading is like a secondary affect. In the most that they read is the entirety of a meme, if that. And really, we have to stop that because reading is so vital, and just not just in politics, but in everything, you know. But the thing that I most want to talk about is the fact that America is spreading hate like wildfire. And, you know, there are two sides to people who are going on and saying that it's not Trump, people who are going on and saying it is Trump. And I'm going to take a stand. Look, it's not the fact that Nazis are new, because they are absolutely not new. You know, Nazis have been around since at least what we can trace back to the early 1920s, right? So we get this regime, we have these people, they're following this ideology. You know, here in America, Nazis found sympathizers in white supremacy. And so this is an age-old battle that's probably at least about 100 years old. We're seeing a resurgence in this, in people willing to come out and say, I'm a Nazi or I'm a Nazi sympathizer, you know, because the rhetoric from the top down is problematic. You know, after World War II, when Nazi Germany was defeated, it was made clear around the world that Nazis weren't welcome, that Nazism wasn't welcome. Germany outlawed having any Nazi effects. America, you know, became a battleground of freedom of expression versus, you know, wearing and having these things, which were about a regime of hate and intolerance. And so Nazis laid low. Obviously, they didn't disappear. And here we are almost 100 years later with people who, I'm not sure if they fully understand Nazism to its degree. Maybe they do. They probably do. That this is an ideology of hate and destruction, and that the type of rhetoric that they spew is nothing but disgusting. But these people want to continue to do it, and they want a platform to do it in. And now Daily says things that are not just anti-reporters in anti-liberal. They're targeting of anyone who dares to stand up to his toxic ideologies, to his toxic behavior, to his gaslighting. And that's what Trump is doing to America. He is definitely, definitely gaslighting. And that's because it does him some good. If he's always keeping us hysterically upset, if he can keep us from focusing on the bigger agenda at hand, which is, you know, the destruction of healthcare, the destruction of Social Security, the destruction of Medicaid, Medicare, handing over billions to corporate millionaires and, you know, forcing the middle and the poor class to pay their taxes for them, and making it so that women are relegated to secondary status, making it so that minorities are treated like they're not even human. You know, these are his real agendas in the background, and he keeps stoking the flames of hate and division, because as long as we're angry about what we can see, he doesn't let us focus on the things which we're not openly seeing. And the problem there being that there's so much going on in the background that we don't know about, because the news media is too busy covering his hate mongering. And, you know, folks, let me tell you something. Why should we really hate each other? Because we have different ideologies? Well, you know, I'd like to think that a poor person who is a Republican is a Republican because they don't know better. Because really, if they understood the political climate, which is that it's not just me that they want to take Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security or benefits from or vacation or family leave or anything from. It's all of us, you know, as a class. So whether you're black or white or red or blue or green or purple, whether you are whatever status, as long as you are not a millionaire / billionaire, they want to take everything that they can from you, force you to pay the taxes for these corporations, and want you to not notice it because you're too busy fighting with each other. And this problem has been one that has been used over and over time again, and it's always a different set of people who fall for it. I think that because, you know, I used to side with the Republican ideology, but back when I was inclined to be on the Republican side of things, I was very angry, filled with frustration. I didn't understand why life was the way it was. I had yet to be challenged on my views. I wasn't very educated. And it took people who patiently took me to task. I mean, over and over again, and made point after point after point to me that really opened my eyes and began letting me see the world from a different perspective. So I hope that when you go out there, you don't do like Trump is doing in gaslighting. Now, when I reversed that and became a liberal, I would have to say that I became a very vitriol-filled liberal, because I know that if I can come so very far and turn it so very far around, that other people can as well. And perhaps my expectations are too high then. And I've been trying to focus on being a better person online and personally. It is hard, because I think to myself, do these people really understand the ramifications of what they're doing to other people? And then I have to slow myself down and think, no, they don't. They're thinking about their families, their personal lives. They don't think that this is going to touch on them or hurt them. They feel like they're immune. They feel like if they do all the right things that they're being told are right, that their life is going to become a better place. They really don't understand that it's not. So if you go towards a Republican, do so with the knowledge that these people are likely very uneducated. And because here's the thing. You see two types of conservatives, okay? You see the people like Dinesh D'Souza, who would spread hate anywhere because for him, it sells. Hate sells his, you know, I don't even know what to call it, because he's terrible at history. He's terrible at facts. He doesn't really know anything. He just likes to stoke the flames of hate. Literally, this man exists on the fear and paranoia of others. And then you have people who are the average Joe Republican who just want a better life. They want to be able to make money, have savings, you know, do things with their life, and they think that conservatism is the way to go. And conservatism for whatever you believe it is. You know, there's such a thing as conservatism that is just about fiscal responsibility, about helping people achieve wealth. You know, you think that if you listen to the people talk about the stock market and information about how to change your budgeting lifestyle and things like that, that life is going to get better. Unfortunately, then you go to college and you learn that, you know, things are orchestrated in our society right now in such a way that corporations are going to be getting richer and the average person isn't. But this isn't something that conservatives really understand. You know, they're desperate for a better life, which is the same thing that liberals are, but the perspective is totally different. Not every conservative is a hate-mongering racist, but racism is a core problem in our nation, because even the best of us white people can sometimes hold racist views without even knowing that they're in there. You know, we have been taught as a society to look at things through a racist lens. And so I'm not dismissing or anything Nazis. Please don't put those in the same bag, because inadvertent racist ideologies doesn't go hand in hand with Nazism or these white supremacists who purposely try to flame hate and vilify minorities for, you know, the crime of the quote unquote crime of being born as a minority. You can't help how you're born, and that's not how we should judge people anyway. And Trump and his regime that's there in Washington now want to stoke these flames because for them it works, division works to distract. And the distraction helps them achieve their agenda. And Mitch McConnell would be the first one to tell you that that's what they're using because that's what works. Every time that there's something that they're planning to do, which is insidiously evil, Trump will get on Twitter and he will start tweeting out a bunch of crazy things. And next thing you know, the media is half paying attention to anything else going on in the background. And then we have a policy change that is horrific for America. So understand that, yes, Trump wants us fighting. Trump wants us hating each other. Trump wants division in this country because not only does it feed his need for attention, but it feeds his need for getting attention off of the things he's actually doing versus, you know, what we're paying attention to. And I think that we need to work on this as a society because I know that it's happening in other countries. We're not the only ones. It's just that America is a hub of differences. You know, we have the privilege as a first world nation that obviously is trying very bad to be a third world nation to enjoy the luxuries that many countries don't. And with those luxuries comes responsibilities. And I think that we're not living up to those on the internet, is we're not taking care of our internet brothers and sisters and ensuring that, you know, we're not abusing each other. I think it's too easy on the internet for abuse to happen. We're angry, we're frustrated, we're trying to make change. We want a better world because we have come and advanced so far in some arenas while not advancing enough in others. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of vitriol for that. Then you have the misinformation that has been spread. And I think it's just, I think that's the most frustrating thing, is watching these people spread misinformation day after day. Just, you know, and they have no remorse about it. They have no conscience about the fact of doing is terrible. What they're doing to the country, what they're doing to other people. And, you know, I don't know if Dinesh D'Souza, people like him, actually believe what they're saying to be true. But I know that they're spreading it. And I know that they're making money off of it. And so you kind of wonder in the background of your mind, do they understand that what they're doing is terrible and it's lies, or do they actually buy it? Because when it comes time for you to challenge them to debate the situation, they often shy away from it because they know that inevitably you potentially can debunk everything that they've just said, which will cost them in the end followers. But I truly do believe in this too, that it should take them to task. Without being nasty, you can take people to task and say, you know, your point is not valid because of X, Y, and Z. And you're going to have a lot of backlash from people who are trolling and people who are bot accounts. Definitely one of the main problems, because you can't tell a real individual from a bot in a lot of instances. Usually real people have real pictures, but bots have upped their game, and they're using a lot of women's names and faces to create these accounts and make it look like they are someone real. Usually, typically, though, they don't have a lot of followers because they have to keep creating new accounts continuously. So that's one dead giveaway. But it's not always a dead giveaway because there have been quote unquote Republicans that are literally bots, and they have millions of followers. And this person, quote unquote person, has substantially lent nothing to anything. They're not a book author. They don't have podcasts. They literally really don't exist. The only thing that they do is retweet Republican crap and say some vapid things. But they have millions of followers. So you have to be careful, because there are these accounts out there too, and I've seen them. And the problem is, once they have these millions of followers, Twitter is very hesitant to, even with numerous reportings. So this has become an overwhelming problem, because especially when Trump is stoking hate and division, these people grab up what he's saying and they go further with it. But it's not just the Twitter bots and the president. It's also places like Breitbart and other, what do you call them? They, to me, they're just trolling agencies. You can call them news, but it's not really news if it's something that you're making up. It's not really news if it's not really news, you know? And if you're reporting it in such a way that you're twisting it to become something that it's not, and I've even caught liberal publications doing this, twisting it to make it seem more dramatic than it is. And, you know, it's become a problem. It's a problem for our society. Because, you know, when they talk about liberal spin or conservative spin, basically what it is you take something literally from the context that it was originally in, you extract all of the context around it, and you take this one little tidbit and you make it into something dramatic. I can't respect that anymore when I find it, because the whole story should be told, okay? I can't stand Donald Trump. Cannot stand Trump for the life of me. But on the same page with reality and rationality is that we can't go around and twist things that he says into something bigger, because then how are we any different than conservatives? And no, I'm not saying that he doesn't do horrible things, because I'm absolutely saying that he does horrible things. I'm saying that his saying that there's good people on both sides when the Nazis were in Charleston, Virginia, and the young lady was killed, Heather Hare. His statement should have condemned them from the first. When he called himself a nationalist, David Duke was celebrating, and he said, yes, he's like, this is why we like him, because he calls himself a nationalist, and nationalist stands for, it's a false flag word that basically stands for he's a Nazi or a white supremacist. Okay, and he was trying to use it in the context of standing for the nation, which absolutely isn't true, because everything that he makes is in China. He doesn't pay people when they do work for him. So obviously this man isn't for our nation. And I do believe that Trump was raised by white supremacists. And I believe in my heart of hearts that this man is indeed himself a white supremacist. But the thing is that when he makes statements absolutely abhorrent enough without taking and making things that he says into something bigger, that they're not. You know, he makes plenty of statements that are horrific. We don't need to take ones that are mild and make them sound more horrific, because he gives us plenty of horrors already. But the problem is that when we let him gaslight us, when we aren't paying attention to policy, when we aren't paying attention to what Mitch McConnell and all of the Republicans are doing, they are doing some terrible things in the background. We have to stop these people from being able to gaslight us. We have to stop them from creating the division in our society. And we have to stop these bots from perpetuating the division in our society. We are not immune to it. You know, people should – look, I'm an atheist, okay? I'm an atheist who believes that it's still morally reprehensible go into a church, a synagogue, a temple, whatever it may be, and kill innocent people. You know, these people were at their worship. Whether or not they're worshiping their imaginary gods is of no consequence to me. You know, these people weren't out there hurting anyone. I may ideologically disagree with them, and I may find their religion silly, but I still think that they have every right to practice it. I would love to see the end of religion in my lifetime, but I would not like to see it by violent bull. I don't think it's okay to destroy their lives for who they are and what they worship, as long as what they are doing isn't costing lives itself. Now, when we talk about ideological extremism, I would say that Mike Pence and people like him are more of a threat to this nation than some Jews in a synagogue. And I certainly wouldn't condone any violence or violent rhetoric against them. And instead of Trump getting on Twitter, where he likes to spend most of his days, and saying, I condemn this wholeheartedly, you know, that this kind of violence has no place in our country, he continues to gaslight and blame the media. Well, no, sir. No. You have to take responsibility from the seat that you stole from Hillary Clinton and say that, you know, your words have consequences. All words have consequences. What you say becomes an action, someone's action. And when you have mentally ill people who can't get medical care the way that they should, who aren't being looked after because the stigmatism around mental illness, then you have people who are willing to go out there and commit atrocities like what happened this weekend, you know? And this is bred by a society in which a person feels emboldened because leadership doesn't condemn these kind of ideological madnesses. You know, it takes leadership, true leadership, to get people to understand that we can come to the table with differences. We can walk away friends. But in the meantime, there are limits. Like, you know, I can disagree with you on policy all day, but I will not let you cage babies. That doesn't mean I'll condone if somebody tries to do something violent to you. Because if I don't condone babies in cages, and I don't condone mass shootings, and I don't condone people having weapons of mass destruction, then why would I condone violence against you? That doesn't make any sense. And whether you stand politically on the right or the left or in the middle or far, far left or far, far right or wherever you are, violence is not okay. It wasn't okay to shoot Scalise. It wasn't okay to shoot these people this weekend. No matter where you politically stand, the solution to political problems is discourse, understanding, education, facts based upon time, looking at it, the outcome of decisions. It is not based upon what we violently do to each other. And I think that America has to take a look what we're saying to each other and what we're doing to each other, because this rhetoric is destroying our nation. Donald Trump is making our nation crumble in every manner that he can because it benefits him. And that is the saddest truth that will ever be said, that this man is willing to do whatever it takes to destroy this nation. He has put puppet people in place. He has made this nation a laughingstock. He has made bad trade deals. He has said there are people good on both sides when he's talking about Nazis. Donald Trump is a problem for this nation. On the daily, he is talking about he's okay if people commit violence against media personality. You know, his rhetoric has hurt many, many people in their career, in their life. And I think that we have to stop allowing this man to talk such a way that we're constantly reporting in printing articles and, you know, screaming and running around like our hair is on fire over what this man does. We have to take the responsibility to turn him off, to tune him out, to listen to the more important things going on, because he wants that daily attention. He thrives on that daily attention. Without this society feeding Trump and his narcissistic ego, he becomes this empty pit where he can't fill it. So he constantly has to have praise. That's why he's always on the campaign trail and never in the office, because he can't, you know, stop and feel the emptiness that lives inside of him. Because when he does, he has to realize that he's a very unhappy man, living in a very unhappy life. He's not well loved. He's not good. He's not a decent human being underneath it all. There have been many presidents who I would disagree with wholeheartedly, who have made decisions which I absolutely can't agree with. And yet, to this day, I cannot say as much loathing, undesirable things about. But with Trump, you can. And so I want it to be understood that we have a duty as a society to each other for change. You know, we shouldn't have people killing other people in schools, in churches, in their homes, in the streets, running them over with cars. You know, we could have a better society than this, and we are being robbed of it. A madman and his regime. And I think it's time for us to stop. If we can't look to him for leadership, then let's look to actual leaders. And I would really appreciate if people out there would stop saying, you know, why doesn't he get on Twitter and say this? Why? Because that's not who he is. That's not what's going to happen. We have to look to people who serve the greater good for leadership. We have to be able to put forward people who care more about the well-being of social justice than our own good. And we have to be willing to listen and talk and bend and give. All right. No battle is truly an all or nothing. All right. There is always some give and take. You know, you can go into battle with 100 men and the best of intentions. And between the beginning and the end, you lose some men. Intentions get bent along the way. Ideas change. Thoughts change based upon what happened. You grow and change. And I think that's where we need to be politically with each other, is that we need to be understanding enough that we can disagree, that we can be different people, but that it, at the end of the day, we don't want to see each other hurt or destroyed over it, unless the person who's spreading the hate, who's spreading the animosity, who's trying to cause us to hurt each other, in which case, you know, we need to take it upon ourselves to say, hey, this is not something that we're okay with. This is not something that we're willing to deal with. This is something that we're going to put away from our society because we can talk it out. You know, these people who have done these mass killings are absolutely sick. They are absolutely sick individuals. Whether or not we could have reached them with help is obviously of no consequence at this point, because the harm has already been done. But we need to be able to reach others. If you see something going on that looks truly disturbing, if you hear somebody talking about, well, the only way to deal with X, Y, and Z group is to kill them, please speak up. Please find someone and say something and call attention to it. And even if they don't listen, you know, get more people to listen. Get more people to see it. Because together we have to enact change. We have to be a society where we can work with all different, bring people together, and not just together, into the fold together. Bring people to understanding that, like, look, let's differ, let's discuss. Let's not, you know, pander to the worst of what Trump and his regime want. And I would really love it if CNN and NBC and all of them would stop having on Trump symbiotes, stop trying to normalize their hate, stop trying to normalize their ideologies, Stop trying to make sense of things that are absolutely senseless. Stop, you know, doing news shows about the gaslighting that Trump does. And stop taking the bait every time he tries to gaslight us. Because all it is doing is creating a chaotic society, one where he is inching and inching fascism closer and closer and closer on the daily. And we can do better than this. You know, for the families of the people who were lost this weekend, I feel really bad for you, and I wish you the best. But they deserve better. Going forward, we deserve better. And I think that can only happen when we take it upon ourselves to commit to a better world. You know, everyone is watching America because at one time we used to lead, and now we're falling behind. We don't have to, but we have to stay focused on what is leadership. How does it look? How does it behave? Shouldn't we be talking about the more important things, which is, you know, the fact that soybean trade in October was at zero? Shouldn't we be focused on the fact that we still have thousands of bridges that need to be, you know, renewed, that we have roads that need taken care of, that the jobs are in jeopardy because of the Republican policies, that Republicans plan to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid if they control in November? Let's stay focused. Let's stay positive. Let's talk to each other in such a way where we can get messages across that need to be heard. But let's stop this whole rhetoric. Let's stop. You know, online, if you see a bot, which typically they have very few followers, as I said before, they typically don't have a header on their Twitter account. They have very few friends or specific types of friends, like all women. Those are the kind of people that you should pay attention to enough to report. And trust me, I've gotten 13 accounts shut down now, and I plan to keep going forward. Every time I encounter one, I start, you know, reporting it so that it can get paid attention to. And Twitter has been making monumental moves and now has a thing that when you go to report it, it can say spam or there's another word that they put in there. But basically lets them know that they need to check it to see if it's just a fake account. And I think that you should use that option as often as possible, because there are literally hundreds of thousands of bot accounts because Twitter and Facebook no longer have the policies that, you know, you have to verify who you are in some format in order to have it. These bots can set up dozens and dozens of accounts and within a matter of minutes and start using them. And you'll see intermittent tweets, specific tweets that are only targeting one thing, usually only quoting conservatives. Sometimes get them trying to pretend that they're liberals, but then posting conservative agenda items. So just pay attention out there and try to be good to each other. And remember, if you can woo me over, okay, and I was a diehard dumbass. So if you can bring me over and educate me, and if you can teach me to be a better human being, I was a Laura Schlesinger, Rush Limbaugh listener. I listened to Sean Hannity and Combs. I was so deep in the dark, dark conservative waters that you would have never wanted to talk to me as a liberal. But people did, and they challenged my ideas daily, over and over and over, until the point to where I picked up on the fact that I needed to be more educated. Every time I tried to make a point, I had to check myself on my points. I had to prove my points. And let me tell you something. If you're one of those people out there doing this to other people, bravo. Because you are doing something astounding. You are changing minds. So do that. Change minds. One link at a time, one point at a time, one topic at a time. Don't give up, and don't give up hope. I'm not the greatest person for doing it because my patience is very thin. but I'm trying to become a better person over time with it. So if I can, you can. Let's do this. We can do this together. We can shut down the Russian bot system, and we can make America a place where we can, like, go at the discourse, okay? So let's do this, Pink Atheist crowd. Thank you guys for listening. That's going to be all for the day, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate you, that I'm glad to be liberal today and an atheist, and I'm glad that so many of you were out there to challenge me. You have made me appreciate you so much, and I think that as a society we can do better, and I want you to go out there and spread the love. So take care until next time.